Well, good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We are starting a new book. I think my favorite book of the Bible, Ephesians. You know, since we've been here in the year and a half, we have gone through Philippians. We've gone through Nehemiah. We've gone through Titus. And now we're about to go through Ephesians. We'll take probably 17, 18 weeks to get through it's an incredible book, you know. And so we've titled this series "Becoming Who We Are," okay? Because God, in His Word, He's going to say that whenever we are in Christ, that when we give our life to Christ, that something happens. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says that if any is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. But see, the problem is we don't always live like we're new, right? I mean, sometimes if you're like me, we get stuck in the rut of maybe going back to old sin. Maybe as if we live with one foot in the Word, one foot in Christ, and one foot in the world. And it's like we're torn between the two. But what God says is that when Christ comes in to dwell inside a person and saves that person from their sins, that incredible things begin to happen. And so what Paul's going to do in the book of Ephesians is the first half of the book, he's not going to give us a single command, not a single thing to do, but he's going to say over and over, this is who Christ is. 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 And by the way, whenever we see who Christ really is, that affects us. And so the first half of the book, he's not going to give a command. He's just going to show us who he is so that we can become who he says that we are. All right, so becoming who we are, the premise of this is that God in His Word says this is who you are. And by the way, it's not something that we have to be way down the road after we mature, after we've been a Christian for so long. The power of the Holy Spirit inside of us allows us to be who we are in Christ now. Okay, so we're gonna look at becoming who we are. But listen, before we can see who we are, we've got to see whose we are. Okay, everything we read in Ephesians is going to be built on the fact that we belong to Christ. Okay, and so if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, and I know there's some here that are not yet Christians, listen, the whole book of Ephesians will not apply to you until you become His. So this morning, before we even get to who we are, which is the whole series, we've got to understand, we've got to realize whose we are. So if you found Ephesians chapter 1, if you would stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Let me just stop there. Paul's the author. Okay, he's writing a letter to, we're going to see it that right there at the end of verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus. So he's writing to a group of Christians that are in a particular location in Ephesus. Okay, but listen, what's true for them has to be true for us, right? Because the Word of God is living and active. It's timeless. It doesn't grow old, doesn't change. So Paul is writing to a group of Christians that applies still to us today. We're going to see all throughout the book. To the saints who are in Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. This is the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. So, right out of the gate, Paul is establishing that we belong to Christ. So if we were to answer or to realize whose we are, listen, if you've given your life to Christ, you are His. You belong to Christ. And so right out of the gate, he's using strong words like choosing us before the foundation of the world, that we would be adopted into His family. So right out of the gate, he's establishing the fact that you and I belong to Christ. And listen, this is pretty spectacular. And so what Paul's going to do is he's going to try to get us to understand how great God is. Okay, right out of the gate, he wants us to understand how great a God that we serve, how great of a father. We're just saying, he's a good, good father. Listen, that's what Paul wants us to capture through these first six verses in Ephesians, that we belong to Christ, that we are his, and how incredible that is. So that's where we're going to start this morning. We're going to talk about whose we are. That's what I'm trying to say. That we belong to Christ and how spectacular that is. Let me show you how spectacular it is to belong to Christ. Number one, listen, everything we ever need, we already have in Christ. Okay, the premise that you and I belong to Christ, that becoming who we are, all that first hinges on the fact that we belong to Christ. And it's spectacular because, I don't know if we realize this, but everything we will ever need, we already have simply in Christ. Well, I'm going to show you that. Look at verse 3 with me. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And I don't know what your thoughts are as you think about heaven. You know, we think about heaven a lot, particularly as we age, or as our as our loved ones, when a loved one who's in Christ passes away, we tend to think of eternity and what heaven is going to be like, and what they must be walking in, those who have gone before us, what they must be walking in at this very moment. And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited looking forward to what Christ has for his people. But I want you to understand that the riches of heaven is not just for some faraway place, even though it's going to be an incredible literal place that those who are in Christ are one day going to be at. But listen, it says that he has blessed us right now with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now here's what we tend to think of. We tend to think of, I'm in need. You know, yes, I have Christ, but I also need these other things. And we tend to think of, well, if I just had more money, then I could buy this, and then I'd be happy, right? I mean, if I could just have a little bit more of something I already have, that would make me happy. Or if I just had something that I don't have, that would make me happy. But I don't know that it tends to work that way. That the idea that stuff brings us happiness, because otherwhere in Scripture, Jesus is going to say that. Hey, don't build treasures where moth and rust destroy. You know, everything that you own is one day going to end up in the garbage. Do you realize that? I mean, we have our cool iPhones, and I never can get ahead of the game, right? When I moved here, I got a new iPhone. Which one do I get? I tend to get the one that's like going out, because it's a little bit cheaper, a little bit more affordable, and then I kind of hate myself for doing that because there's something so much better. I think we're on the 6, and as soon as we got the 6, we should have waited like a week because the seven came out, right? And so my contract's coming out. What do I do? Do I get a 7, which is a little bit cheaper now, or I think they're about to turn loose of an 8, right? Well, listen, the point is, no matter what you get, it's going to be obsolete like by the end of the day. All right. Same thing with cars. We accumulate all this stuff, thinking that if I just own this, if I just drive this, if I just lived in this, if I just wore this, then I would somehow be satisfied. But it's elusive. It's a game that we play that we never find satisfaction in. But the idea is, if I just had more of something, I would have happiness. Or maybe it's health, right? Well, you know, I can kind of get by not wearing the trendiest clothes. I can kind of get by not wearing or driving the best automobile. But what about what about my health, right? And who likes to feel awful? Not very many. Not very many people. But listen, we have this idea that, well, if I would just have health, if I just have this, if I just have that, then I would be happy. You know, Catherine, she's paralyzed. A lot of you saw her come in her wheelchair this morning. And by the way, be praying for us. As soon as we get done here, we're going back to Little Rock. She has a procedure. They're going to go up and do her. It's expected, nothing out of the ordinary. She's almost a year from her open heart surgery. They're just going to explore, make sure there's no more narrowings. We want you to pray with us in that. But it's kind of back to these casts and making sure everything has progressed. And we still want you to pray for her legs. We pray every day that God would heal her, right? But what God has taught me through this ordeal of her becoming paralyzed, listen, is that you don't have to have your legs to be happy. Okay, so some of you saw her come in and she like, she's like a light switch. One moment she's happy and she gets that from her mama, maybe, not from her daddy. The next moment she's not. But listen, she is the happiest girl without her legs. But see, here's what we think. We think if I just had this, or if I just had health, or if I just had this material possession, if I just had these things, then I would somehow be satisfied. But what we really need is we really need contentment in what we have, right? We really need peace. We really need joy. Because it doesn't matter how little or how much we have, if we're missing joy, we're in trouble. If the doctor calls and he says, bad news, listen, that's bad, but it's really bad if you don't have peace. And peace is not something you can go and buy on the shelf at Walmart. We need these things. We need peace. We need joy. Did you know that you have these already, right now, in Christ, if He dwells inside of you? If I could just flip back one page to Galatians chapter 5. Listen to this. Here's what we need. Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, here's what we need. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Listen, it doesn't matter what we have if we have these things. Can I tell you that the only place this is found for very long is in Christ? You can find love somewhere else. Might not work out for you. You can find peace for about that long in something else, but it's not going to last. But I want you to know that the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, listen, all these things that every heart longs for. I want you to know that that is given to you the moment you give your life to Christ. Everything you truly ever need, you already have in Christ. You guys awake this morning? So I know you're sitting here, and again, maybe you're this pre-Christian, someone who hasn't given their life to Christ yet. Can I tell you that you have one great need? No matter who you are, I don't know you. No matter, I don't have to know you. Don't have to know what you're going through. You have one great need, and that is for Christ to come into your life and fill the void, the God-shaped hole that every heart has, and that when that happens, He gives you everything in that moment you will ever need. He gives you forgiveness of your sin. He gives you this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, all these things that we talked about. He gives it to you in that moment to be realized, to be walked in. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, understand what's available for you. All these things. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you already given your life to Christ, listen, can I just remind you that these things are available right now? In the chaos of your life, these things are available right now. Pretty spectacular that we belong to Christ, because everything we ever need, we already have in Him. Paul didn't stop there. Number two, though. When we belong to Christ, when we're His, we are eternally loved. We're eternally loved. Look at verse 4 with me. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. And then it starts a new sentence in love. And Ryan and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. This is like, we have like sentences and commas and all this stuff here. If you look in the Greek, this is like one huge sentence. And so as they're translating it to English, they're trying to figure out where to put verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. I love how they kind of just start, how they end verse 4 kind of at the start of a sentence. Right? There's no comma there. There's no period because it says, verse 4, even as He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Okay? It's not like ending the sentence. It's starting this new thought. But I love how He ties it together that before the foundation of the world, He chose us in Him, and it was because of His love that He did this. Guys, you and I are eternally loved. We're eternally loved. You know what that means? That means that there's not any accidents in this room. I remember Randy and I, when we got married, we were on the 5-year plan, right? Where we get through college, or I was through college, she gets through college. We get our nest egg built up, our savings, whatever that is, our savings built up. And then after 5 years where we're ready, then we'll have a kid. Okay, I remember she came to me like 2 years in. We were eating at Red Lobster, which is one of our favorite places to go. And we're sitting there, and she's like, "Oh, by the way, I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant." And I didn't believe her, okay? Because it's not part of our plan. And so I'm like, yeah, I say whatever any good husband says. Nuh-uh. You're not pregnant. She's like, yeah, I really am. I took a test and I'm pregnant. No, you're not pregnant. And I mean, we're playing this game, and finally she just starts crying because I don't believe her that she's pregnant. Listen, the worst feeling in the world is to be in a restaurant where it's supposed to be quiet and your wife's sitting there crying, and it's not because she's crying happy tears, she's crying because her husband doesn't believe her. And so I feel like everyone in the store can hear what we're saying and is looking at us as the worst feeling in the world. And then I finally believed her that she was pregnant. And like, it was like from that moment on, our lives changed. It's like whenever I got married, God showed me what love was. And then whenever we had our kids, then He really showed me what love was. But listen, I didn't love Evan before I knew he existed, right? I have not eternally loved my son. You know, they say the greatest love is a mother's love. But listen, Randy was not a 7-year-old girl playing on the playground. I'm just kind of staring off into space saying, hey, what are you daydreaming about? Oh, I'm just thinking about Allie. That wasn't a thought to her. Listen, at most, your mama loved you at the longest the moment she knew she was going to have you. That was having you. Listen, what we just read here in Ephesians is that before the world was even created, before the foundation of the world, God existed and He loved you and He longed for the day that you would come into this world. He has loved you eternally. That's incredible because His love is not based on your past. He loved you before you even had one. His love for you is not based on some future version of yourself where you've got things worked out and you got rid of the bad habits and you're doing things right now and you're reading your Bible and you're praying like you need to. It's not based on some future version of you that's got everything figured out. He loved you. He loves you now. He loves you before you were even a thought to your parents. He loves you according to this before the world was even created. Listen, capture that for a second. Because we have a tendency to go, oh yeah, I'm loved by God. No, you are loved by God. I like to think of how what it must have been like when He created. Right? Like can you just imagine like he's in the throne room of heaven. The world hasn't been created, it's just God exists. And I can just kind of imagine kind of the angels kind of being around Him as He's creating everything, and He's kind of like, okay guys, we're about to get going. I'm going to create the sun. And the angel's son, what's sun? Sun! And it just like pops in the being. Yeah, you'll love that, but wait till you see the moon and the stars. Moon and stars? Moon, stars, there they are. And I can just imagine just the angels just being in awe as God creates. And then He moves on to that and He starts making flowers and trees. And then He gets to animals, and he creates all these animals. I can just imagine with everything that God creates, man, there's just this excitement, this clapping, this hooping and hollering, this excitement of what God's thinking up next, and what he thinks up next, and what he thinks up next. And then he gets to man, right? And everything he's created is good, it's good, it's good. And he creates man. It's very good. It's very good. First time in Scripture something is very good. When God created man and woman, right? Like the crown of his creation. And then they fall, and God said, hey, that's okay, because I'm going to create Noah, and we're gonna do things a little bit different. And like, oh man, a guy like Noah. And then he gets to Moses, right? Don't worry, things are bleak now. But I'm gonna call Abraham, and I'm gonna call Moses, and they're like, oh, there is hope. And all the rising and falling of everything, just but God saying, hey, don't worry. Here, this is coming. Ultimately, Jesus, right? Okay, it's time for my son to redeem everything back. But listen, it doesn't stop there. Because he's like, hey, but the Apostle Paul, you're going to love him. I'm going to create him. He's going to do awful things at first, but just wait. Till August 30th, 1982, God says, Heath's going to be born. I've waited all eternity for this. And listen, it's the same for you. That you and I, that we exist here together in this time, this point in history, so that we can glorify him. But listen, even if we don't, even if we fall along the way like we do, listen, he loves us eternally, and he's excited that we're here. Belonging to Christ, belonging, being his child, is incredible, because everything we ever need, we already have in him. When we belong to Christ, it's incredible because we're eternally loved. And we can't even wrap our minds around that, but then he gets to something even more, maybe even more incredible than what we've seen. The fact that you and I are adopted into his family and become sons and daughters of the King. Look what it says in verse 5. I'll just back up to the end of verse 4. In love, he predestined us. And listen, this is kind of a scary word in church, predestined. Let me just tell you what it means. Predestined. Okay? Look what it says. In love, he predestined us for adoption. As sons, by the way, daughters, as sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. See his purpose, his good pleasure, was that you and I would be adopted into his family, becoming his son and daughter, just like Christ is his son. You know, the only thing funnier than kids, you ever seen that show Kids Say the Darnest Things? The only thing funnier than kids are their parents, right? Because every parent thinks that their kid is ahead of the curve, right? Like we have all these reasons why little Johnny is so good at this, and maybe the areas that he's not as good, there's a good reason, right? He's the youngest in his class. He hasn't hit his growth spurt yet. Listen, I've never heard a parent say, you know, my son, yeah, he's just pretty mediocre. They're always best at whatever it is that they're doing. Now, parents are so funny. I was at a ball game, sitting by a guy. His daughter was playing. They were warming up basketball, and he said, "Hey, see my daughter out there?" I'm looking. Yeah, I see her right there. This is her ticket to college. I was thinking, man, you better hope she marries rich. She couldn't dribble and chew gum. She had to go spit her gum out just so she could go make a layup in practice. But that was her ticket to college, right? That's what every parent thinks. And by the way, I was at a track meet later, and that was her ticket to college. I really don't think she ever went. I mean, I'm serious. She never went to college. But every parent thinks that. I should have known that we were going to be bad, because before we had kids, people would come over and we'd show them pictures of our dogs and the tricks that they could do. And parents are, we're funny. my daughter, Addie, she's going to be one on Wednesday. And what we've enjoyed doing is seeing all the new things that she starts doing, right? Like when she rolls, that became a thing. And then she'd kind of army crawl. She wouldn't crawl right. She'd like just kind of scoot on her belly, like a worm. Just kind of army crawl, and she could get around the house like that. And then she got to where she could crawl, and she's trucking all over the place. And now she can kind of pull up. And you know what's going to happen next? You're going to see it on Facebook because she's going to start walking, right? And what's going to happen is it's going to be this big celebration that Addie is walking. But really what's going to happen is she's going to take two steps, and she's going to smack down right on the floor. All right, God knew what he was doing by making babies with hard heads and lots of cushion in the behind, right? Like he made them where they'll have to use a bathroom and a diaper, so we'll put a diaper on them so they'll be padded when they fall. She's going to take step, fall, and you know what we're going to do? She's walking. Now, I've never heard a parent in that moment say, what's wrong with her? She must have got that from this side of the family. My side, we're walkers. Listen, no parent does that. It's walk, walk, fall, celebrate that they took steps. And I wish we could see that God is like that. That he saves you and I. And he puts us on our feet. And we take a couple steps. And we fall. Because we sin. Listen, nowhere in that moment is God angry. Is God mad? He's not saying, when are you going to get it right? I saved you. I did the hard part. Now when are you going to learn how to read your Bible? When are you going to learn how to pray? When are you going to serve me? Zephaniah 3:17 says that he sings over us. Oh, he loves us. It's good to be his son and to be his daughter. Before the foundation of the world, you and I were predestined to become his son and daughter because of his great love for us. He's not mad at us. You and your distance, however far you are from him, how many ever times you've fallen, he's not angry at you. He loves you. You can imagine, again, the throne room of heaven saying, did you see Heath? He was walking. Angels saying something like, oh, that looked like falling to me. God, hey, quiet down. I created walking. He was walking. Oh, to be a son or a daughter of the King. He's a good father. A good, good father. Look at verse 6. Look at what it says. To the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the Beloved. And what that means when it says that we are blessed in the Beloved. See all this, everything we're talking about, whose we belong to, the fact that everything we have, everything we ever need, we already have in Christ. That we have been eternally loved, that you and I have been adopted into his family. Listen, all of that is because what Jesus has done. That's how we're blessed. That's how we're blessed in the Beloved. We're blessed because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. You see, you and I, we could never be good enough to become a child of God. You and I, we could never be good enough for God to love us on our own because he hates sin. He has to punish sin. You and I can never muster up enough joy and peace that we can have all this stuff or forgiveness apart from him. The only hope that you and I have of all these things that we've talked about is that God sent his son, his beloved son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his son for us to die the death that we should have died so that you and I could be adopted into his family. And I'll never forget one of the most incredible days of my life is the day that we got to adopt Catherine and Emerson. You see, they went from basically being a child of the state, where the state made all their medical decisions. Or they would try to hunt down their biological parents and get them to sign off that they could have this surgery, or they could do this, or they could do that. Not that they needed it, but we could not even do things like cut their hair if they needed it without first the state okaying. But you know what happened? We went to a courtroom where the judge was. And he said, "These girls now belong to you." We got a birth certificate saying we are the parents. From that day forward, we make the decisions for them because they're ours. As far as the state of Oklahoma is concerned, the nation, as far as anyone's concerned, they have been ours from the very beginning. And we love them just like our blood kids. What happens when God adopts you into His family is the incredible love that He had for His one and only Son is now the incredible love that He has for you. And you're treated like a son, and you're treated like a daughter because you've been adopted into His family. I got to see this a couple weeks ago when the Knickses, when they adopted their little girl. We got to see this not too long ago when the Moomies got to adopt Asher. So I can name a lot of names here, but I know I'm going to start forgetting people. But listen, that's what happens. If someone that's not yours becomes yours at adoption. And that's what Christ has done for us. If you're here this morning and you have not yet become His son or His daughter, I want you to know that He loves you with an incredible love since before time began. That the moment you put your faith and trust in Him, He gives you everything you will ever need. He doesn't always flip the situation, the circumstance in your life. But He gives you everything you need to walk joyfully through these things, bringing Him glory all along the way. It'll be everything you'll ever need. We sang about this. If you've got pain, He's the pain taker. If you feel lost, He's the way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's the prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's the chain breaker. So I want to invite you, if you haven't given your life to Christ, to be adopted into His family today. Today, adoption day for you. Today's the day if you haven't given your life to Him. And listen, if you have given your life to Him and you don't feel very loved by Him, you don't feel like He's given you everything that you need for whatever circumstance, you don't feel like a son or daughter. Listen, I felt like that along the way. In every circumstance, had nothing to do with whether or not He was loving me, had nothing to do with whether or not I was His son, had nothing to do with whether or not He gave me. Listen, that's already been sealed according to His word. But if I wasn't feeling it as a Christian, it had everything to do with my sin and disobedience. It's true that God's not mad at you when you fall. But it's also true that we distance ourselves from His love when we do. You don't have to feel that way anymore. I'll tell you, the closest I ever feel to God is in that moment of repentance. I've said this lots of times. I used to think, oh man, I can't wait till I'm mature as a Christian because I'll sin a whole lot less. I found that not to be the case. I can't wait till I'm mature so I don't have to repent as much. I find that the closer I get to God, the more I realize He is holy and I am not. And the more I actually repent, the more I grow, the more I repent. And listen, the closest I ever feel to God is in that moment that I'm broken in sin. And say, God, I repent. I don't know how I'm going to change this. I don't know. I'm just going to have to trust You in this. But I repent and I agree with You. In that moment, closeness is restored. So if you're not a Christian, you can become one today. If you have and you've forgotten what it feels like to be a son or daughter, that can change today. You trust Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your word. And God, I know this is a lot to take. Just the weight of being a son and daughter and the love that You've had for us since before we were even created. God, it's hard to believe sometimes that everything we ever need we have in You. So God, as we go throughout the day, will we massage this into our brain that You are all these things and that walking in them is incredible. God, I pray that today will be adoption day for someone here. We love You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.